Our third scripture reading today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15, through the end of the chapter. It's on page 942 of your pew Bibles. Should you care to read along on 942 while I read aloud? Listen and hear the word of God written. The point is this. The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. The one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give up as you have made your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way by your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saint, but also overflows with many thanksgiving to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ, and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of your surpassing grace of God that he has given you. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. I want to talk to you about the harvest. This is the time to thank for the harvest, the bring it in, a wonderful time of Thanksgiving. And we're going to be celebrating today with giving back our faith promises, also our dinner tonight. It's a good time. But I want to talk to you about what comes before the harvest, and that's the sowing of the seeds. How do you get a good harvest? How do you get a good harvest? It's okay to celebrate and be thankful for one, but it's another thing to figure out how to do it. Well, I want to talk to you about in the scripture about how you get a great harvest. And it is about sowing seeds. It is about bringing them out. First thing I want to talk about, the first thing about a harvest, if you want a harvest, you have to sacrifice. If you want a harvest later, you have to sacrifice seeds now. You know, the Bible says another place that Jesus says, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it cannot bring new life. I was such a city slicker. It was my own fault. I could have learned more. But I grew up here in Akron. What do I know from farming? I mean, I didn't think about farming. I didn't think about how things go. And so my first pastor for 10 years was in a rural county in Indiana where everything was about farming. They gave directions by what fields were growing. Well, you turn left at the soybean field, and then you go over by the growing thing. I'm lost, you know. And they talked about farming a lot of times, and I learned a lot of things. One of my neighbors was a farmer, and right across the street, he was a farmer, and he was so excited one day. He comes in, and he says, guess what? We get to be seed farmers. We're going to make seed corn. I knew about sweet corn. I knew about field corn. I didn't know about seed. The seed company is going to pay us to grow seeds for them. And I would say, oh, well, that's great. You know, but I'm thinking, how do you grow a seed? You know, I'm thinking, how do you do that? I don't know how to do that. You put the seeds in the ground, the plant comes up, the seeds are gone. How do you grow seeds? That doesn't make any sense to me. Seeds are what you put in the ground to get the stuff out. And I was so confused. I had this metal block. And finally, my good wife, Betty Lynn, who grew up a little closer to the land than I did, would say, you know, when you put the seeds in, yeah, and you get that whole ear of corn, well, yeah. Well, each one of those is a seed. You only put a couple seeds in, you get a whole bunch back in the corn cob. Oh, that's how you grow seeds. I didn't know that. But aren't we like that? Everybody like that? You say, how do you get more seed? How do you get more stuff? You hold it. You hoard it. You put it away. You keep it. You don't do anything. Imagine, if you will, people come up and say, hey, you want more seed? Well, yeah, I'd like more seed. Because, well, you got to take what you have and bury it in the ground and leave it alone. What? That'll ruin it. I don't want to do that. The strangest thing is that you have to sacrifice the seed. You can't eat your seed corn.
You have to sacrifice your seed for the future. And if you try to hold on to it, it's going to either be all eaten up and consumed, or if it's not consumed, it's going to go stale. The only way to have eternal harvest, to have seeds forever, is to sacrifice some for the future. And isn't that what Christianity is about? The only way to eternity is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who gave up his position and came down and sacrificed for us all to live for eternity. I want to tell you a story. There's a story about RCA. RCA. You ever heard of RCA? What a wonderful company. They invented liquid crystal displays, LCDs. Those LCD screens that you see hanging everywhere. Heck, they got them in the funeral home. They got them on your television now. Our LCDs are hanging on the wall. They're in your computer. You want to get rid of them. You know, and they invented those LCDs in the 50s. You know what they did? They put it on the shelf and didn't make it. Because you see, back then, RCA was a leading manufacturer of cathode ray tubes, CRTs, the great big boxy things that you may have on your computers, the television looking like things. They made those, and they didn't want to sacrifice their tube sales for the LCD. Well, now today, tubes are gone pretty much. LCDs are everywhere, manufactured by Asians. You can get an RCA screen. You can get that, but you know what? There is no RCA corporation. There is no payroll. There is no company. There is nothing. RCA is a trademark owned by GE and currently licensed to the French manufacturer Thomson. All that's left of RCA are the three-letter name. Why? They didn't sacrifice. If you want a harvest, you have to sacrifice. If you want a harvest, you have to bury seed for future generations. If you want a harvest, the first thing you've got to do is remember that you're going to take sacrifice now to get a gain later. That's number one. Second one is kind of like it, sort of like it, is that if you want a harvest later, you've got to take a risk now. You got to risk. There's another farmer in that congregation. This guy was actually in the congregation, not my neighbor. And he introduced himself to me, and everyone he met, I saw him do it. Every time for 10 years, he would come up and he would say, "Hi, I'm Wendell, and I'm a professional gambler." And he was darn serious about that. He says, "Those people in Las Vegas, they got nothing on me. What, they go out 2, 3, 4 times a year? Every year, I take all this money, all my capital, and I bury it in the ground and gamble on the weather. And I gamble on the markets. Sometimes I win, sometimes I lose. But I'm a professional. I come back year after year, and I do it again and again. And over the time, I do pretty well. But it's, I don't kid myself. Every year, every spring I go out, it's a gamble. I'm a professional gambler, sometimes called a farmer." Thank God for the professional gamblers called a farmer that take the risk year after year on the markets and on the weather to plant their food so that we can have a harvest. One of the things you've got to do if you have a harvest is it going to take a risk. You have to risk it. You have to put it out there. If you don't, you're not going to get anything. If you do, you may lose it, but you might win too. Another computer story. Xerox Corporation. Now, they're still around. Xerox Corporation, one of their mission statement used to be, "We put black marks on white paper." That was their mission statement. Again, in the 70s now, Xerox Corporation invented in the 70s computer networking. They invented the mouse, a little mouse thing you roll around, Xerox. The desktop where you have things on the screen, little icons, you click on them and things do, you move them around, Xerox again. A laser printer, Xerox again. All these wonderful things that are the basis of computer as we use them today, every day, were all invented by Xerox. They did nothing with any of them but the laser printer. Why? Because they were about paper. And they didn't want to take a risk on anything other than paper. They knew paper. They understood paper. Paper was what they were about. They threw away networking. They threw away the graphic interface. Computer workstations. They invented them, put them on the shelf. Oh, wow. They didn't want to risk it. What if they tried it and people still wanted the paper? Paper was good enough. Stay with the paper. Man, what'd they miss out? Because they wouldn't take a risk. Christy, we're tired of them computer stories. Not everybody loves the computer like you do. Okay, sports fans, how about hockey? Now, this is tough for me. I'm going down on a limb here because sports. But hockey, how many know who the great one is? Nobody. I got nobody. I got two first service. I got one. Two. I got two. Three. Great one. Wayne Gretzky is the great one. Only two athletes in all professional sports has their number retired from all teams. Not just their team, all teams. Wayne Gretzky and Jackie Robinson. Those two people says there's never be another one like them. Wayne Gretzky is just, he is the number one scorer in the NFL. He is the number two scorer all time in the NFL. He's the number three scorer in all time. And he's the number four scorer of all time in the NFL. He has done more than any other person in scoring. He's got other things too, but I want to talk about his scoring. He has done over 200 points in one season four times. No one else has done that. He did it four times. He has over 100 points in 15 seasons, 13 of them consecutive. Over 100 points. He has made more assists than other people, than the top goal getter, the number two goal getter, the next one down. He is a scoring machine. He scores. That's what Wayne Gretzky does. He's the great one. How does he do it? I think there's a lot of things. I'm not a sports expert, but I like to think that one of the most important things is his most famous quote. You know it? You know the most famous quote, Wayne Gretzky? He talked to Wayne and he said, "You miss 100% of the shots you do not take." If you don't take that shot, I guarantee you, you will miss. Risk. If you want to harvest, you got to take a risk. Wayne Gretzky knew that, and he is the great one. Want to have a harvest? One, you got to sacrifice now to have a harvest later. Two, you got to take a risk now for the payoff. You know, sometimes you're going to win, sometimes you're going to lose. You got to be a gambler, kind of a professional gambler. You got to be smart about it. You got to know your odds. You got to do everything you can to have a good outcome. But you got to say, hey, sometimes we lose. Sometimes things go wrong. But you know, we just keep trying things. You know, it says that in the Bible. Paul says that to the Jew, I'm a Jew. To the Gentile, I'm a Gentile. To one under the law, I'm one under the law. To the Pharisee, I'm a Pharisee. To the free, I'm a free. To the slave, I'm a slave. I will all things to all people so that by all ways I can win some to Jesus Christ. Not all of them. They're not all going to work. But he's going to take all the shots he can. Because if you don't take a shot, you're going to miss it. You want to harvest? Take a shot. Third thing. You want a harvest? Make room. You got to make room for a harvest. You got to make it a possibility. You got to be ready for it. You got to say, here comes a harvest. Back when I was a youngster, we had car washes. I don't know if they do. I think they still do car washes. Don't they? And back then, we used to charge for the car washes. $1, $2, $3. Charge for the car wash. They come in, they give you $3 a wash. You know, but one time, someone comes in, don't charge, don't put down the charge. What? Don't put down how much it is. What? Don't charge how much it is? Because, yeah, just put down donation. Donation. What if they give us a quarter? Don't worry about it. You know what? We got $5. We got $6, we got $7, we got $8, we got $9, we got $10, we got $20 to wash the car. This is great. We never put down how much it was before. We made room for it because, you know what? The minimum becomes the maximum. We allowed other people to be generous. We allowed other people to give more. And because we allowed that, we gave them permission, they were more generous and we got more. You go to any public place that's not already paid with taxes, you'll get a ticket. You'll get a charge. You'll get the cash register ringing up at the end. You'll get the box office. You'll get some kind of payment and a bill at the end. You won't in the church worship service. We resist that in the church. It's hard to do, but we're doing it pretty much so far pretty well. Why do we do that? It's not because we don't need the money. It's not because money grows on trees. It's not because the government supports us with tax dollars. It's because we don't want to limit generosity. We don't want to limit people's generosity by saying, well, this costs this much or that costs money. Sometimes we get burned. That's the way it goes. Most of the time, we get blessed. We got to make room for it. We got to allow it. We got to allow people to give us what they can. Give us the best. Some people are generous with a little. Some people have a lot and give a little. There are all sorts of things, but we allow everyone room to grow. If we don't, we're going to get the minimum. Let me tell you a church thing. Presbyterian Church USA used to have a minimum. They had a minimum. They wanted communion in the church. So what did they do? They say you got to have a minimum quarterly. Four times a year you got to have communion. This was since I've been in the church. You know what happened? What happened in churches throughout the nation? Churches had communion four times a year. That's it. The minimum became the maximum. So the Presbyterian Church USA noticed, and they said, forget about the quarterly. We want you to have it frequently. We're not going to tell you how many times. What happened? Over the years, most churches, like ours, are now up to at least monthly communions. Some churches, like Firelands up on Lake Erie, have it every week. By removing the minimum, they made room for growth. You know this. Farmer analogy. You get a plant, it gets root down. What does it need? It needs a bigger pot. You got to take it out, put it in a bigger pot, put more dirt around, give it a bigger time, it'll grow. But you keep it in a pot, it's not going to grow. Got to make room for growth. I was talking to some people that were putting in a small lake. They called it a pond, but I think it was a lake. It was a huge thing. And they had a small one, and they were going to make a big one. And I talked to them about the fish. Hey, that fish, they'll like the more room. That'd be nice for the fish. He goes, you know what? The fish are going to grow. What? Well, yeah, when you get a bigger pond, fish grow bigger. They do. Yeah, that's right. When they get, the more room you give a fish, the bigger they get. You want to harvest? Make room for it. You want to harvest? When you plant things, you give a room for it. Take the weeds out from between. Make sure they have room to grow. And that's what the church is all about, too. Why do we have new groups? Why do we have so many different services? Why do we do all these things differently? And that, one, we're taking a risk. One, another thing, we're doing a little sacrifice. But we're also making room to grow. New groups means new people, more services, more options, more different things. Allow different people to grow and to become. And that is why we're looking at making a harvest. Because we've got to have room to grow. And that's why we don't take the church budget, divide it up, and say, here's your bill. Because that will stop some of you from giving. And we don't want to do it. Well, some of you not giving up, okay, that's fine too. You got your reasons. You got a lot of things going on. But we don't want to stop the generous people from being generous. So those are the things. Why do you get a harvest, Christy, especially now in today's day? Well, you sacrifice now for later. You risk temporary security for eternal reward. And you make room for God to grow His blessing. And you wrap all of this up in thankfulness. Thank you, God. Thank you for opportunities, for risk. Thank you for confident in faith, for sacrifice. Thank you for making room to grow. Thank you, God, for the harvest, and thank you for the seeds for the next one. Hallelujah. Amen.